This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
It's a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
Yeah, this is Mo the Bartender, and you're listening to the Masters of None. He's the only guy to come into Mo's Tavern and ask for a craft beer and not a duff. Bunch of jerks.
What's up, everybody? Art, Masters of None, with me as always, Mike.
Hi.
And Jay.
Yo.
And coming up, we're going to have an interview with the white guy talk show hosts, Choxy and Grace Parra.
We got it.
Yes. Those
name.
Vocal lessons have been kicking in all 5 minutes of that. Great.
Yep.
We'll talk to them in a bit. But this episode, I even know what number we're on right now, but we're going to be talking about secret indulgences or guilty pleasures or chocolate whispers. I don't know, like the new candy from Dove. I don't know. But we're going to be.
All of those are late nights Cinemax movie titles. Chocolate whispers, chocolate secret whispers. Indulgences.
What was it? Chocolate Whispers is like a slow jam DJ name.
Yeah, it's your Sunday night slow jams with chocolate whispers. Here's a little bit of Al Green. All you lovers out there.
Yeah, so we got a couple of things that we really don't want to mention in public, but we're going to do it on the internet where it stays forever ingrained.
Love
well
that
thought
idea.
Out, boys. Well thought out.
Yeah.
See, my thing is, like, I'm too old to be having guilty pleasures. They're just pleasures at this point.
You just don't give a shit.
Yeah. That's my, I'm most proud of my chocolate whisper. Chocolate whisper is when you rip a silent but deadly, but you actually shit yourself. It's kind of like a Hershey squirt.
Chocolate whisper is silent. When you warn someone anal is coming.
Chocolate. What?
Ow!
Say it three times like Candyman.
Up next on the Chocolate Whisper Slow Jam, it's Candyman with Knock in the Boots. Chocolate.
That's fucking great.
Three for Thursday.
We should just end right there.
I don't know.
It ain't gonna get better.
Seriously.
Phew. So yeah. I guess Mike and I will have guilty pleasures. Jay will have modest pleasures.
You're just pleasures at this point, right? You're just pleasures. Too old for it. Is that what you're? That you're?
Yeah, I don't care. They're not guilty.
Right.
You know, a 16-year-old goth kid secretly likes, you know, Katy Perry.
Yeah, right.
That's a guilty pleasure, but gives a shit if you like Katy Perry at this point.
Go ahead. You go first then.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say my current guilty pleasure is work.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm actually enjoying work. How about that? Everyone's supposed to hate work, but I like it right now. So there's that.
That completely just like go against your mindset?
Yeah, I mean, no one's supposed to like work. That's why it's called work.
Yeah.
I love Mondays.
Yeah. I'm the anti-Garfield.
Right, you welcome normal. A case of the Mondays.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, by the way, I'm drinking a Blue Point white IP.
Whoa. Oh, I don't know. That was great.
Guilty pleasure, burping into a microphone.
Burping in the middle of letters.
Yeah. The hackiest radio move of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Point white IPA for me.
Yeah, I'm getting down to the nitty gritty, but a toasted lager nonetheless.
Nice. Blueberry ale for me.
Right on.
So work. Yeah, I'm kind of in that boat. I enjoy work.
Yeah.
At this point. It is kind of odd, though. You do. I'm not used to not liking my job.
If you love your career, you never work a day in your life.
Oh, but I'm going to strangle those fucking people. Say that. If you love what you do, you never work a... Jesus was carrying me. Shut up.
Chocolate whisper.
I got one. This is a food. Deviled eggs.
fucking love.
Oh, Devil I Day. Love Devil Day. Why
do you really?
Was that a guilty pleasure? I yeah. love them.
No, like underrated. I would say food. Mine is the guilty pleasure because I hate deviled eggs.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
the Dude, best.
Anytime I go to like a picnic or something, I see deviled eggs. They never go. Like nobody likes them, and I'll cool hand Luke them shits.
Yeah, it's well, dangerous think... to not eat like 10 of them.
Yeah,
like, I can't just eat 5 eggs.
Oh man,
totally. And it's eggs with like mayo, which yep. is even worse.
Mayo, spicy. Let's
take
mayo.
Some mayo and throw it in the middle of that egg.
Mayo and horseradish. That's all it is.
And mustard too, I think.
And all the mustard.
Paprika. Don't forget the paprika.
Oh,
that,
like paprika. Oh god, I want one
so
right
Mike,
now.
So, Mike, was this like a recipe or an appetizer your family would always bring out during like the holidays and all that, or barbecues?
Like, yeah, it's always like a summer thing. I never see deviled eggs in the winter. You ever notice that?
They're always sitting out in the heat yeah. where they shouldn't be.
It's a snowbirds.
It's a great idea.
You'd think
they go to Florida for the winter.
You'd think it would only be a winter like app,
right?
Yeah, but we never had them in my family. That's why I think I like them so much.
Oh, really?
It's like you go to a party and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Or if you see them on the random menu every now and again, best.
Yeah.
Always order them. Always order them.
I think, Mike, they, you know, your family made an extra plate for you. It's like, this dude just keeps on eating them. It's
I love like, eggs, man.
So they're like, all right, the Dixie plate, you know, the paper plate that's in the shape of an M. Nobody eat that except for Mike, okay? Because if we don't share, he's going to eat them all up.
Did your family have when you've seen them, did they ever come in the trays that had little crevices specifically for eggs?
Yeah, the deviled egg tray.
The only tray specifically designed for a particular food.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
And nothing sadder than that tray being empty.
I know. That and the gurgle you feel in your stomach like 6 hours later.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, maybe those were sitting out in the heat for too long.
That's not a good idea. okay, good. That was good. I'm glad that one went over well. Thank you.
I love deviled eggs, yeah.
All right, what about you, sir?
Kind of an app, but not like food. I'm talking about, you know, iPad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm addicted to that Frozen game. It's a...
Really?
It's a bejeweled game. It's kind of like, you know, you got to line up all the snow things every third one. You got to match up. I'm playing that morning, noon, and night, like when I have downtime.
So what is it? What is it? Bejeweled?
Bejeweled, bedazzled. I don't know. Whatever the hell it is, but it's the Frozen version. Yeah, I downloaded it for my daughters because, like, oh, I'm like, yeah, cool. I'm the one playing it the most. And, like, I don't let my daughters play anymore because I'm building up a high score and a good record. So they're like, can you play? I'm like, no. That app is down right now.
It's down. It's down for maintenance, kids.
And I swear, after we're done recording this podcast, whatever time it is, like it's 1 o'clock in the morning, my downtime to go to bed instead of reading is playing that damn game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it to the point where you see it before you close your eyes? Like you're like picturing moves.
Yeah, I see the things all lining up, and I see like Olaf waving because I did really well.
All right. The only way to break this is to just let it go, man.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Zing. Wow.
Oh, I got a doozy of them. You just wait.
We may need to send somebody to the house, Art.
Yep.
Nice. All right. Next one.
Jay. Commuting, right?
I do. I don't really commute anymore. I don't know. Like, I had a hard time coming up with stuff. I guess I'll do this too. I love magazines still.
Nice.
I get enough magazines.
That's a good one.
like I hope I get there to the doctor like a half hour early and I won't sign in till 5 minutes before my appointment just so I can read all the magazines. I fucking love them.
Any particular genre of magazines?
Highlights?
Yeah,
it's mainly the ones that I used to get a whole ton of them sent to me. But that internet/magazine, free magazine, well has run dry.
Yeah.
So it's anything. I don't even give a shit. Like I'm all about waiting on long supermarket lines because I want to read about Kate Middleton's secret abortion or whatever the fuck is going on. Like anything.
Even those? Oh, my God.
Yeah, anytime there's a magazine nearby, I want to just pick it up and read it.
Yeah,
doesn't matter what it is.
Sir, you know that this line is closed. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. I just stand in a closed register line reading all the magazines.
Do you get really excited when you walk into a Quick Check and like that wall of magazines is right in front of you? Like that's like the first thing that you see?
And not mine though. Mine only have like a little like rotating kiosk.
Oh, really? That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Boo. Nice. We still got the wall of magazines.
Yeah. Thanks.
They ever have, I think they all shut down now, and Jay's probably upset by it, but at the time, New Hampshire, in the malls, they had like a new stop, or that was brand. Do you remember that? And like they'd have cigars, and then they have like, you know, the adult magazines all the way in the back, then they have like a whole section of comics, and a bunch of like tchotchke candy. That's like your store.
Yeah, man. That, in Brooklyn, we used to have them all the time, the little stationery stores, or like the Tiamo, or they're like the cigar stores or whatever, but just a little newsstand. It's the mm-hmm. best.
Like a Hallmark store?
Huge wall of the newspaper, of the magazines.
Yeah.
Those are fun, too, because they're usually, like, the racks cover up most of it. So all you see is, like, the title. So you're like, ooh, I wonder what's on this cover. You're pulling them all up.
It's like Christmas every day.
Yeah, it was. It was. Last time I was in Brooklyn, took the train to the city. There's, like, a couple of them right by the subway station. So I'm like, ooh, what am I going to read?
Homer Simpson, everybody.
Ooh, magazines.
Excuse me, where can I find your smut, please? Your finest smut.
Yeah, I missed like three trains just because I was trying to pick a magazine. It's great, too, because you know there's no service on it in the subway. So all you can do is read a magazine.
There you go.
It's great.
Someone walks up to Jay. What is that thing in your hand that you're reading?
You mean you got to use your hands?
What's that weird, colorful, small newspaper?
My next one is grape-flavored anything. I can't help myself. I need to eat it. If it's flavored grape, I need to eat it.
That's great.
Grape soda. I fucking love grape soda.
That is delicious. What is. What's the latest grape thing that you had?
I feel like we're at the hair salon getting our hair done right now. We're just talking about.
I think it was some lollipop, some like different. Yeah, oh yeah, it was. I was at the bank. I was at the bank, and they had
TD
all the
bank.
TD Bank, and they have all the free lollipops, and I grabbed like two grape ones.
By the way, they take the green and the purple are the exact same flavor.
Of course they are. They're both grape. They're awesome. Fucking love grape.
What's the weirdest thing?
Welch's or Sunkist or Fanta?
Fanta. What's the weirdest thing I've had? Grape?
Yeah. You just had to have because it was grape.
Children's Tylenol?
Scissorp.
Actually, that shit still tastes like grape. Fucking love it. It tastes like purple. Some of that purple drink. I'm that guy from fucking Chappelle. Yo, what's in that purple drink?
All right, guilty pleasure is I'll actually listen to Taylor Swift if my girls aren't in the car with me. Taylor Swift has grown on me. No joke.
I love it. These are great. These are all great.
Like style, I that's my jam right now. I'm not gonna lie.
The style.
Yeah.
That's the song.
Yeah.
No idea.
Is she empowering you, Art?
Kinda.
Yeah. Do you feel, let me ask you this, in all honesty, do you feel that she's a good role model for your girls? Somebody to look up to?
I'm not even looking for that. I think she's a good role model for me.
Art just shakes everything off these days.
Yep. I'm lighting on my feet. I'm making up the things as I go.
Hey, man, she's coming to the stadium next month. You there?
Dude, if you get me in.
All right.
I'll be a Swifter.
A Swifter?
Is that what they're called?
I don't know.
I just cleaned my floor with a Swifter. Swifter. That's great.
Funny. Clean it off. Clean it off. The dirt and grime go away. This is great gold here. All right, Jay, what do you got?
I don't know. Pass on this round.
Pass? All right.
Go next.
All right.
Good answer.
Here's my TV show, Guilty Pleasure. Treehouse Masters? Do you guys watch this?
I've seen it.
It's on like Animal Planet or whatever?
Yeah, it's a half hour longer than it needs to be.
Absolutely, but I can't stop watching it.
It's a 1 hour show of them building like two treehouses.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, fucking chop this shit up. It's 22 minutes in and out. 11 minutes per treehouse.
The main guy is unreasonably happy. all the time. He has like an unreasonably positive outlook on everything. You want to smack him, but he's fucking building tree houses, so you want to kiss him at the same time. And I love the fucking show. It always starts like this. We got a guy in Seattle, really wanted a tree house ever since he was a little kid. Oh, and he's got $20,000 to spend. Oh, let's do it.
Yeah, what? Who's got $20,000 to spend on a goddamn treehouse?
Yeah.
Russell. Ridiculous.
That shit's fucking funny, though. Dude,
I just sent you the link to the actual page on for the Treehouse Masters, about Treehouse Masters. This picture is ridiculous, because this almost looks like something that we would Photoshop and just making fun of. There's five guys. It almost looks like they're, you know, it's like a reunion boy band cover. But they're like, one guy's sitting on a tree. There's a treehouse in the back, and they all just look like, yeah, look what we did.
It's like a Christian rock band album photo.
Yeah, right?
They're all way too happy about the treehouse they built, and it's not even one of the better treehouses.
No.
Yeah.
Pete Nelson and the Treehouse Masters.
Pete Nelson. That's the guy. And he loves trees a little too much.
There's a picture of him kissing a tree on Arbor Day.
Yeah.
That's his chocolate whisper. Guilty pleasure. Another guilty pleasure. I guess this is like all like just influenced by my kids, but I'm digging... playing all the Lego video games.
Oh yeah, dude. Nicole plays the Avengers one all the time.
Yeah, she like even when the kids go to bed, it's like, all right, what do I play? Mortal Kombat X. I don't know. No, I'm gonna play Lego.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying. And the sad thing is, I'll stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning and trying to get the golden brick that I missed because like when I was playing with the kids. And I'm like, I can do this by myself. And I was like plotting it all out. If I'm not playing Bejeweled, Bedazzled, Frozen, I'm like, all right, how can I get that golden brick?
You know what, though, man? Those things are like the... Remember that episode of South Park where he's playing the heroin addict video game? From like Heroin Hero when he's chasing the fucking the pink dragon? That's what those fucking games are like. They just make you like want to collect more and more shit. Like there's no end to those games.
Yeah. And me being a collector, I'm screwed.
Yeah. It's just... It's all collecting and it feeds into that part of the brain. It's just... it's crazy. But yeah, Nicole plays it all the time.
This level's only 97% complete? Damn it!
Yeah.
While we're on that, I guess I could... do this one. Still like playing Rock Band.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. You're that guy?
Yeah.
No shit.
Still like rocking the drums.
No shit. That's really
still fun. PS2 style.
Wow. PS2 even.
Hell yeah, dude. PS2, baby. Still going.
Damn.
Yeah. Kids love it too.
How many songs are on that?
Oh, we've got a few. We've got like probably three or four different ones. Like Wait. Different games with different songs on them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so like how many songs total do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
Ballpark.
Over the four discs, yeah. Maybe 20, like 80 songs, maybe 100 songs.
80 songs. So you're...
100 songs.
You're playing like a top 40 radio station in your house constantly while you're trying to relax.
Well, it's better music than the top 40 radio station.
True. True.
But, yeah, I mean, we don't do it all the time, but...
What's the
still,
song...
Still fun as shit.
What's the song you're stuck on right now?
Not really stuck on anything, per se.
Come on, we're friends here. You can tell us.
Yeah.
I'm not an obsessive lunatic like Art. I just play for fun.
You're not doing the progression, trying to see how, you know, challenge yourself, get better?
No, I mean, I could do... I don't think I could do any of them, like, on expert, but I can rock some of them on the hard, like the second hearts level.
And you're still playing Rock Band, and you haven't even gotten an expert yet?
I don't play that much.
You should be an expert, damn it.
Don't. We're not shaming anybody here, Mike.
I'm Guitar Hero shaming you.
Still fun.
Nice.
No problems. No problems admitting that.
You're up, Michael.
Socks. My wife pointed this out.
Really?
My guilty pleasure is socks, especially ones with like patterns on them.
Like dress socks or?
Yeah, any socks. I like socks. My wife makes fun of me because anytime I get a pair of socks as a gift, I always have to try them on immediately.
Pretty weird.
Yeah.
Just now like, I know what to get Mike for Christmas.
You love socks.
What's your favorite pair of socks?
I got this like 4-pack of like really cool patterns for Christmas. So,
like, what kind of patterns are they? Like argyles?
Yeah,
or
like argyle stuff, and then just like regular Smart stripes argyle. And different different colors. Some of them have red on them. It's good.
So if we gave you
some of them have red on them. Ooh, well, you're right. Those are great, Mike.
Yeah, red.
The ones with the red on them.
Mm. Come on, man.
Those are choice.
So if we gave you 100 socks, would you have to try all of them on?
I mean, I'd probably dig through and find, like, you know, 10 or 12 that I would want to keep and try those on. But not all of them, no.
Do you get, like, real high-end socks, like $10 pair of socks?
No, that's the funny part is I don't buy expensive socks. I just appreciate when I get them.
So you like the expensive ones?
Yeah.
Is it more the feel of them you like or the colors and shit?
Kind of both. Kind of both. It depends. It depends what I'm wearing. It depends what kind of shoe I'm wearing.
Are they waterproofed?
Get them dirty. Are they waterproofed?
I'm confused though. Like, how often are you able to wear like different socks?
I think 7 days a week.
Yeah, you can.
Like,
you can,
like, what are you wearing to work? Just like sneakers and jeans for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
So no one's really even seeing them.
No.
It's just for you. It's just your little secret.
It's my little thing, man. It's like wearing a thong.
Just your socks and your garters.
Yep, that's it.
Just a little secret for you.
I would love
Chocolate whisper.
This is my confession.
I would love to try on sock garters. Because I don't understand them whatsoever. I don't understand how they work.
Like, what kind of socks are you buying where you need a separate apparatus just to hold them up?
And what holds up sock garters?
Yeah, elastic. Like, the same elastic that holds the socks up.
Yeah.
Unless you're wearing socks for like 20 years.
Unless you're cutting off the circulation by your calf.
Like, if you have quitters, just throw them away.
Quitters?
Yeah, you never heard of that? Socks that just don't stay up anymore?
No.
That's what they're called.
I've never heard that. No.
Yeah, they're quitters.
That's hilarious. I love the fact that I'm calling my socks a failure.
Yeah. Fucking quitters.
Fucking quitters. Oh, okay, so there you go. Socks. Art.
Recently, I guess because of the playoffs, I don't know why, but for the NBA, haven't been watching it really. I've been, you know, checking the scores maybe online, but I've gotten really involved in the mascots' names and stuff. I want to learn more about these mascots and like what they are and what they're doing.
Dude, there's either a show or a documentary or something about mascots on I think Hulu.
All right, nice. It's not going to help me because I don't have it, but all
right,
cool.
Who's your favorite mascot right now?
Spurry.
Who's Spurry?
No, I'm just joking. That's not the name. No, but I was just, like 2 days ago, I was checking out the score for the Warriors Rockets. Do you know what the name of the mascot is for the Rockets?
Rockety?
No. No. Clutch.
Clutch. Okay, well, I don't get it.
Neither do I. And I'm like, I'm trying to figure out the origin of this clutch.
Oh, so you like, you got knee deep in like Wikipedia or something?
Yeah, I'm like, what is it? And then like all of a sudden, since there's a hyperlink to, you know,
Other mascots
like Benny the Bull, which I kind of knew about him anyways. But then I'm like, all right, what about this guy? What about the Milwaukee Buck? Like, what are these? Why are they named this way?
Have you gotten to Hugo yet?
Hugo?
Hugo the Hornet. Have you gotten to Hugo?
Yet, no.
Dude, look up Hugo and his alter ego, Super Hugo.
Okay.
It's fucking phenomenal.
9 out of 10 times the name came from a fucking contest where the fans got to vote on it.
Oh, that's true.
Name the mascot contest.
Check out Hugo the Hornet's alter ego, Super Hugo. His dunk, the bug on the windshield dunk, is probably one of the greatest things I've ever fucking seen. He grabs the rim, dunks it, does a somersault up, and lands sitting on the back of the rim, planted up against the backboard.
What?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's awesome.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's off a trampoline, right?
Yeah.
See, this is like the interesting shit. Listen to this. So Hugo, or Hugo the Hornet, was a name given by the NBA's Charlotte Hornets mascot, designed by Cheryl Henson, daughter of Jim Henson. Hugo the Hornet was created in 1988, 1 year before Hurricane Hugo hit the Carolinas. Hugo was the original mascot from 88 to 13 before taking over as the mascot of the second Hornets franchise that started this year.
Yeah.
How much, like, that's just a bucket full of knowledge right there. Seriously. Man. It's crazy.
Longer than any of our Wikipedias.
Mm-hmm. Art likes Taylor Swift and Frozen games.
Mike, deviled eggs and socks.
While drinking grape soda.
Yep.
Jay loves driving to work while reading a magazine.
Hopefully at the same time.
It's all right. I'm self-employed. Oh, we can do that? All right, cool.
Out of my way, I'm a motorist.
Crunch the Wolf.
Oh, is that the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Yeah, Crunch.
You want to know my current guilty pleasure is? I got a sports one, too. I'm just going to piggyback off of all of Art's.
Do it.
My guilty pleasure is not watching my favorite hockey team in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
On purpose?
Sort of on purpose and sort of not, because I'm busy.
Okay.
But I haven't watched one lick of any of the playoffs. I'm a huge Rangers fan.
Yeah.
Just haven't had time, haven't had the interest. They seem to be winning. Well, last year I watched all of it. And they fucking got smoked in the finals. So this year, I'm just not going to watch any of it.
Wow, that's saying a lot. Because I remember a few years back, we were at your house. Was it the Devils-Rangers game? And Mike, I know I think you're a Devils fan, right?
No, yeah, but no, it wasn't a Devils-Rangers. It was some Rangers, somebody else. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
All right, semantics. But anyways, I remember, Jay, you're like, yeah, we're going to wait to record all these three shows until after the game. I was like, all right. So just that's like a complete 180.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm just busy.
With work.
And then it's always a pain in the ass to find the fucking game. Like, the NHL is such a bitch of sports. Like,
yeah.
It's on, like, CTN TBC this week. Three. Like, where the fuck is the game? Like, you can never find it.
I know. You're right.
And then, like, my upstairs TV, the channels are different from the downstairs TV. It's like, fucking hell. It'll take me an entire period just to find the goddamn game. Like, it might not even be on the downstairs TV channels, on the upstairs ones. It's like, who can fucking keep track? Fucking step it up, NHL. Just be on ESPN. I fucking turn on ESPN. It's like girls softball. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I can't find that goddamn Eastern Conference Championships and the fucking, it's nonstop college softball.
It's not so much a guilty pleasure that you're not watching. It's just guilty pleasure because you can't find it.
No, but I'm also kind of enjoying not watching it. Honestly. I see people wearing their Rangers shit. I'm like, yeah, go Rangers. I'm like high-fiving people in the streets. Yeah, I'm not fucking watching.
I feel like a fraud.
No, I don't. I feel great about it. I don't really care that much. So, yeah.
All right. Nice.
I'm enjoying not watching it. And I probably won't watch it even if they make it. So just to keep it going. It's my playoff non-caring. People have playoff beards.
Yeah.
It's
your playoff business as usual.
It's my playoff ignoring the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just going to keep it up all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Nice.
If they win. Last year was too much. It was too heartbreaking last year. I thought for sure they were going to win it. They had the dude's mom died and all that shit. You know, the 3-1 comeback, and they did it again this year. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm not going to watch because it's just going to be fucking miserable at the end.
So if they win the whole thing, will you never watch them again?
No, but I'll go crazy. I'll run around the block naked, banging on pots and pans.
Now, if they win and they have like the parade in New York City, Jay will have his back towards the...
Yeah. I'm going to go to Los Angeles.
Not watching the parade. Not watching it.
I'm going to go stare at the Pacific Ocean and then fly home.
Right about now.
Just to ignore it as much as I can.
Nope, didn't happen. Nope.
You're just like, la, 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 not looking. Someone comes up to you like, what are you not looking at? The Rangers parade in New York City.
He's doing that. He's got all nothing but Stanley Cup champ Ranger gear on, and he's just not paying attention to it.
Yeah, I'm trying the opposite, because in 94, I watched like everything, every fucking game.
Yeah.
And this year, I'm just going to watch zero. Not 1 second.
All right.
Not one bloody second. Not a highlight. Nothing.
Nothing.
Same thing, too. Last year,
I watched. Score?
Last year, too, the Royals were fucking in there, and the Rangers. Fucking let down twice.
Right.
Twice. You know how hard it is to see two of your teams, two different sports, lose in the fucking championships? It's brutal. So this is my year of not watching sports.
Nice.
And I'm loving it.
Ba, 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 ba.
I find myself watching less and less. I think it's mainly because I work in the industry, so I'm just kind of like, meh, whatever.
Yeah.
See how the sausage is made.
Wish I could say the same about me and drinking beer, but nope. I'm trying, though. I lost, again, I'll say that for my next one. Right, go ahead, Mike, you're up.
All right, my wife reminded me about this one, too. Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yeah.
Just anything he does. Anything. Singing.
That lime commercial was hilarious for the tequila limes.
Yes.
His tequila?
Yeah, just anything he fucking does, I have to watch. I have to see. I have to see what he does. Huh? Yeah, that's it. Nothing else funny about that.
All right. Good one.
Cool. Right now for me, one of the things is I got this calendar from Hasbro. It's like counting down the days to the new Star Wars toys. And I'm always like taking a picture and like just doing like the hashtag because I just like, oh, what's up next? What's up next? And certain like figures from like the 80s. They had a like all three Luke Skywalkers, and I pose them right in front of the calendar the way that they were posed in the calendar.
I saw that.
I was taking a picture of that. I'm like, dude, this is like an obsession / guilty pleasure. I'm like, oh, okay, what's happening next? And my daughter's loving the calendar too. She's like, oh, who's next? Do you have that toy? I'm like, no, I came out while I was in college.
That's awesome. So are you sending that via Twitter to people? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Are you getting a response from it?
Yeah, some people are like, oh, dude, I had that. Or like, oh, I always wanted that. I'm like, yeah, I know.
That's fucking funny, dude. Yeah, I saw that one day.
That's with this calendar.
I saw that the one day. So those are your toys on the real toys that you have. Those are yours.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And you kept them in actually pretty good condition.
I played with them too, man. I had my friends and I were playing with them. I think that the Y-Wing didn't really make back engine parts. They really didn't make it, but I still have some of them. I think I have a Snowspeeder too.
I think I would have hated playing with you, like, as a kid.
Why?
Just like playing, like going over and playing toys and stuff, because you probably would. You didn't like people touching your shit.
No. They like one of my friends broke my Optimus Prime.
The die-cast one?
Like the metal one that like the hardcore Hasbro or Kenner one back in the day. The legs, like he's like, oh, I'm gonna see how far he can, like his legs can go forward when I transform him. Ripped him right off.
Oh, that was a hard toy to break.
Yeah, it was die-cast. Yeah.
Guy had some anger management issues, I guess.
Jesus. It's a fucking serial killer you're playing with.
Mm-hmm. Thank God I made it out alive, folks. So I can listen to Taylor Swift and play Frozen games.
My next one is shopping at Toys R Us using gift cards. So my son got like about $90 worth of Toys R Us gift cards for his birthday.
Yeah.
So me and him went shopping. And it was all about like the smart shopping, like making the most of your $90. So like remember when a kid, you're like, I have all this money, like how am I gonna do it? Like am I just gonna buy one huge toy or am I gonna buy like five small toys?
And what did you decide?
Yeah.
Oh man, dude, we fucking rocked it. He got, you know, couple mediums, few smalls, but he fucking worked it. He got you know, because 5-year-olds, they don't know how to fucking shop,
right?
They need guidance,
losers.
You know, he wants to buy like immediately the one Star Wars Lego set that's $90. I'm like, don't fucking buy that, dude, trust me.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, but this is so cool. I'm like, dude, trust me, you're gonna walk out of here with like seven toys that are badass. So I think we walked out of there with like he got like a Teen Titans Go, like little mini action figures set.
He got a Lego. $90 worth? Like, was it exactly 90?
I spotted him $5.
Oh.
Because I'm that good. He got a like a Lego, like Bionicle robot kind of guy, which was sweet. We got bases for the backyard, so we could actually like play baseball with actual bases.
Whoa.
We got
You just taught him a valuable lesson.
Yeah, that like seven toys are better than one.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Frugal shopping.
Absolutely. I don't know. There were a few more, but he got some good shit. Oh, he got a Transformers, like Dinobot.
Grimlock? Yeah.
Swoop? Might have been Grimlock.
Boo. Nice.
You don't like Grimlock?
Swoop, bro. It's all about Swoop.
We made the most of it.
Nice.
It's good. He learned a valuable lesson that day, my friends. We spent like a fucking hour in there solid going up and down each and every aisle. He would have been done by the first fucking aisle. Dumb kid. It's a good thing he's got a father.
I'll give my last one because mine's similar to that. It's like mine's like internet coupons, especially like for free shipping or for 20% off or what. Dude, I just like, I'm right all about that. You.
Yeah, I just saved like $15 this weekend too. Just looking up internet coupons while you're in the fucking store.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were in Michael's, like just bloop, pull up the coupon, like 55% off any one item.
Mm-hmm.
And we used it twice. I had Katie use it for some shit. I used it for some shit. So we saved like fucking $15 just
boom
by being on your goddamn phone. Like if you don't do that, you're an idiot. Or you're rich. Either
I don't
one.
Do that. I don't know that. I didn't. My wife has coupons a lot. I can't be bothered with any of that shit.
Dude, it's $15.
Coupons and gift cards. I give all the gift cards to my wife. I'm like, here you go. Because I don't use them. I never fucking use them.
Nah, that's the bomb.
Straight cash, homie. For money.
Straight cash, homie.
No, seriously, look up internet coupons, and that sounds stupid. But then I think Walmart, too. It's like if you're buying something and you check other stores, you're like, boom, look, this is $20 cheaper. Okay, fine, we match it.
Yeah. Serious?
Yeah.
Price match everything, dude.
I did that for when we were buying stuff for kids, like the kids, like we're going to birthday parties, and there was like a weekend of like three birthday parties. I'm like, are you serious? And so I was like looking at them like, oh, sweet, Target's got that for $10 cheaper, and you know, Kmart or whatever, and like, look, here you go. And they're like, all right, I'll match it.
Yeah, the dude, more you like, know, Mike, the more you know.
Those like craft stores, though, like Michael's and AC Moore and shit, they have like toys in there, and you can always use that. There's always like a 50% off any item coupon. So if you're going to buy like some dumb kid some birthday present, that's the fucking way to go. They always have like cool like Crayola shit in there and all kinds of stuff.
Can 50% off. Yeah, I'm looking to buy a dumb kid a birthday present.
But yeah, dude, fucking 50% off. Fuck yeah.
But the only thing about those fabric stores and stuff is they have some like second rate toys. Like they have like just like
no, they don't,
cheap
man.
Knockoffs no, of the real thing.
Only Joann no, fabrics. You're talking about.
Yeah.
They always have like G.I. Josephs.
G.I. Josephs.
They don't even have GoBots. They have robots.
GoBots.
Going bots.
Went bots.
Alright, I'll just give you one more. I'll give you my last one here. The following movies: Sneakers.
Oh, great one.
Roadhouse, Striking Distance, Eraser, and Fools Rush In.
Fools Rush In.
Fools Rush In.
Drew Barrymore joint.
It's Matthew
no,
Perry.
No, let me guess. Wait. Matthew Perry and Selma Hayek. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
I can't not watch that movie. I don't know why.
That's horrible.
Yeah. How about it? Caddyshack 2.
Fonz and Noon. Caddyshack 2 is a classic, dude.
It's terrible.
It is.
Jackie
Mason.
Yeah, the way he walks, it's like he's got a turd in his pants. And like even that alone is just hilarious. And he has that gun where he starts blow drying his hair. Just looks like a grandmother trying to suck on Werther's Original, trying to have a good conversation.
Yeah, that movie's terrible.
Mr. Westeros.
But what about my other ones that I said? Sneakers. You ever see that movie?
Oh, big time. I love that one.
I watched that movie
forever.
All the time.
Who's in that?
Everybody. Robert Redford, Sidney Poitier, Dan Aykroyd, the fucking River Phoenix.
Fucking Dan Aykroyd and Sidney Poitier were in a fucking movie together.
Yep.
Wait, let's just slow
Steven
that down.
Tobolowsky.
What bridge is that? What bridge is that? Let's slow that down.
Yeah. He's a blind guy, and he fucking like finds like what bridge it is by the sound of it. That whole thing was bullshit.
What?
Yeah. Do you remember that, Art? It's like, I remember it sounded like a cocktail party, and then it's just the fucking birds. And he's like, he just knew exactly what he was talking about, too, when he was like, oh, a cocktail party. Yeah, that's the birds.
Yeah. My voice.
Oh,
is
Ben
my
King.
Passport.
Ben Kingsley's in it. He's the fucking bad guy.
What?
Yeah, dude.
I think I mix up Sneakers. Sneakers is the one with Stephen Tobolowsky. Is the voice thing that you always talk about?
Yeah. My voice is my passport.
Verify me.
I think I always mix up that and Hackers.
Oh, Hackers is another one. I'll watch Hackers all the time, dude.
That's with Angelina Jolie and
the guy that was in that movie, that show Sherlock.
Yeah, yeah. What
the fucking name is?
What's his name? Johnny Lee Miller. Is that his name?
Sounds about right.
Sure.
Isn't Jake Busey in that, too?
I hope so.
Oh, and Fisher Stevens is the bad guy.
God almighty.
<I'm> fucking terrible. It's Fisher Stevens and Lorraine Bracco are the bad guys in that movie.
It's hilarious.
Movie's terrible.
Can we get like two milder people to be the fucking villains in this movie?
Karen!
James Earl Jones was in Sneakers.
Yeah, James Earl Jones was at the end of Sneakers.
He was the heel.
Think about that. Robert Redford, Sidney Poitier, James Earl Jones, and Dan Aykroyd. which of these things does not belong.
His name was Mother.
Yeah. And what about Striking Distance? Have you ever seen Striking Distance?
No.
It's a lesser-known Bruce Willis movie with him and Sarah Jessica Parker, and he's a boat cop in Pittsburgh.
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nope.
Who's the best cop?
Never heard of it.
No? Art?
Sorry.
What? You're fucking kidding me.
Wait, what's it called?
Striking Distance?
Yes.
Come on.
Drink another grape soda. It'll be okay.
The serial killer would play this on the answering machine before he killed somebody.
Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood.
No?
We
nothing?
Sure are looking
nope.
Good.
Shit.
Wait a minute.
I can't believe you've never seen Striking Distance.
I probably did see it.
It's Bruce Willis, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Tom Sizemore, Dennis Farina.
Dennis Farina, right.
Timothy Busfield?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, I might have seen it. Didn't really do anything for me. I mean, I stay out too late, all right?
All right, sorry, dude. And then Eraser, that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Vanessa Williams.
Jesus Christ.
I cannot watch that. I don't know why. And Roadhouse. Come on. Let me finish strong with Roadhouse, at least.
Yeah.
Now?
It's better than the other ones.
Oh, my God. I fucking hate both of you.
No, dude. I got you on sneakers. Calm down.
I hate both of you. None of those movies. I thought
I remember watching, like, Sneakers and what was that? Little Phoenix or...
What?
River Phoenix was in that movie with his parents were Russian spies. Was that Little Nikita? No. What was that movie?
I don't know.
All right. I'm done. I'm done with mine. Mike, you're done. Jay, you're done?
Yeah, pretty much. I was going to say guilty pleasure I'm enjoying right now is fitting into size 36 pants for the first time since high school.
All right.
Nice, dude.
Yay. It's taking every ounce of restraint to not be one of those assholes who fucking goes on Facebook and is like, look at me, I lost a few pounds. But I'm doing it, guys. I'm doing it.
All right. Well,
good job, man.
We'll hold you back. Promise.
But yeah, guilty pleasure is enjoying not being the asshole who fucking brags on Facebook that they lost a few pounds.
Nice.
So yeah.
So you just do it on a podcast instead.
I'm trying to think which one is going to reach less people.
Facebook.
I think Facebook's to the point where, like, it's like they give you like three people that any given post might reach.
Yeah.
Like they've chopped it down so much. They're just like, yeah, we're going to decide what two people who are friends with you are going to see this next thing that you post.
Right. Every third post is is something sponsored too.
Yeah.
And it's always the most interesting thing that I see in the feed. So I click on it and then I'm like, wait, this is fucking clickbait and I can't get past the goddamn menu screen. So then I end up just closing it in frustration.
Yeah. I love it too, especially if some posting stuff about Star Wars. Like, did you see the latest thing about Star Wars? You open it up, it's like, there's your time.
Yeah. It's literally every day they change something. Like they're employing so many people who are just desperate to like feel like they're contributing something,
right?
That it's just crazy. Every day there's something different, whether it's the phone version or the desktop version. There's always some kind of new stupid ass annoying thing that they add or fucking remove or divide by or something.
I don't even have it connected to my fucking phone. I don't have it connected.
Rebel.
No, because the worst part about it is I'm like a Nazi when it comes to my contacts on my phone. So it'll show all of the fucking Facebook contacts for my phone contacts because the Facebook is connected and it's just a fucking utter horseshit. So I don't even do that.
Yeah, that's the worst day when you realize one of your fucking apps like got a hold of your contacts and now it's just littered with like email addresses of people you don't even know.
Yeah.
Like your like contacts is just like Joe Blow 69 at Hotmail. Like
right.
What? Who is this? And why is it in my fucking contacts?
Yeah,
he's got great coupons for you when you go to Toys R Us.
Google likes to sneak that in on you too.
Yeah, you type
expecting
in
it.
You type in an S, And then all of a sudden these email addresses pop up of people that may have been CC'd in group emails from like 4 years ago. Yeah. And you're like, what? What are you fucking talking about? I never emailed that person ever. Get them out of here.
Yeah. And then every now and again, when you want an email to pop up that you need to email it,
yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing. Or it's wait, crickets. I thought I had that person's phone number. Nope. Apparently you don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Really? It's been happening to me a lot lately.
Yeah. Yeah. You have their Skype handle.
Yeah. Thanks.
Good luck.
Appreciate it. Oh, look. Look, their Tumblr account. Thanks. It's eating itself.
Venting pleasures.
Yeah.
Really is.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up for Guilty Pleasures. We're going to throw it off to our interview with the White Guy talk show hosts, Choxy and Greg Sparra.
One more time.
On Fuse.
One more time.
Choxy.
Yeah. All right.
So I said like it right the second time.
With Chalk.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, yeah, you can check them out on Fuse, and Mike and I had a chance to interview the two hosts, and there you go.
Season of guests. Season of guests.
And we're still working on more seasons of guests as this season continues.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a cool one in a couple weeks. Really good one.
Hope so.
Comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he seems like he's down to do it, but he's on tour, and it's like the 10th.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have him on in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yep, so stay tuned for that. So for Jay...
Chocolate Whisper.
For Mike.
See ya.
See ya. What's up, everybody? Art with Mike from Masters of None. And on the line, we're very happy to have Grace Parr. You can check her out on the White Guy Talk Show. It's on Fuse, 11:30, 10:30 Central. Thanks for taking the time, Grace. How you doing?
I'm good. Hello, guys. Happy evening. How's it going?
Doing
good.
Well. A couple of things we want to talk about, but name of the show, White Guy Talk Show. You're not a guy. Your co-host is not white. Where'd the title come from?
Yeah, well, you know, basically, we were developing the show and trying to figure out what it was about this particular show that was a big standout. There is a lot of late night shows out there. The vast majority of them are hosted by white guys. So, you know, it was kind of like an ironic nod where in one of these development meetings about what the show should be called, I was just like, what if we just call it White Guy Talk Show? It's like very much not that. And everybody in the room, which was at the time some executives and writers, were like, oh, that'd be so funny. Wouldn't it be crazy? And then we actually pitched it to the network and they were like, great, done. And we were like, wait, what, really? We had no idea if that was actually going to go as far as it did, but we're delighted that it did because it really does encapsulate not only like the logistics of the show and that it is not hosted by two white guys, but also the kind of like offbeat ideology that we hold to be true.
Have you guys gotten any flack because of that? Because it is kind of jarring once,
even
if it was two white guys hosting the talk show. Just the title itself could be.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, there are always like Twitter trolls that will like. In fact, I think it actually was last night. There was a YouTube video that one of the writers were passing around. Some guy had YouTubed the show. And he was just this, like, white dude in middle America who was like, I can't believe that there is a show called Black Guy Talk Show. And there's no white guy. I thought this was going to be about white guy issues. And I was like,
America.
I thought it was a bit at first. I was like, oh, UCB, you keep doing the best stuff. But then I was like, no, this is just a genuine person in Kansas.
White guy topics. I wonder what that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, like...
Mayonnaise.
Or mayonnaise, yeah. Some fluid, definitely.
I love it. Tell us a little about you and your co-host, Choxy. Tell us a little bit about like how you guys came together, how you kind of build chemistry before you guys started filming the show.
All right, well, I was somehow the first person brought on into the duo, and which is such a blessing and wonderful of Fuse to cast me out of L.A., actually. And so when I got to New York for the show, the first order of business was like, let's find a co-host. They really liked the idea of a male-female dynamic in late night because that had not been done and still isn't really being done. So we went on this kind of mass pursuit of finding the perfect co-host. So I chemistry tested with dozens of comedians, like tons of amazing, amazing people. You know, it's a really difficult thing to cast chemistry. I imagine that casting directors who do movies and television shows run into this all the time, but particularly with a talk show where playing yourself, you're not playing a part. It's something that's really difficult to find. But Choxy was just far and away the right person for the gig. It was just like, oh my God, the chemistry that we had right off the bat was indescribable. I mean, he's so smart and so funny, and there's so many things about our ideologies and work ethics that were aligned without us ever having to even say them. So I think that's kind of what you're looking for, is that sort of unspoken synchronicity that comes with just like kind of talking to somebody. And he would just tell me stories that like right off the bat in these audition processes, I was just like, oh, I just want to hear this guy talk forever. I just want to riff with this guy. It's been a chill process to work together on a daily basis because I think we both feel and know that we have each other's back, which is the most important thing when you're co-hosting with somebody.
You've had a big career of hosting shows, mm-hmm. both TV. We were talking before you did a radio show. And what does this one bring to the table as far as challenges that maybe some of the other ones in the past haven't?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, many of the other shows that I've hosted have been more weekly or even monthly. The grind is not quite as consistent. But with this, because it's a daily show, every day is a completely blank slate. You know, we're starting with basically nothing going into the day. So the challenge is just content. It's like, this is when having a team of writers that, you know, has stamina is so, so awesome and so important to have, because it's that grind of just like having to deliver every day, you know, as like a content creator and as a host, energy wise, also looking fly. I look fly every day. You can't just look fly once a month. Every day. So that's a tough challenge, is when it's like, should I stay at home and like pitch ideas, or should I go to the gym? It's kind of a constant struggle. It's also really cool though, because it's like, you may walk out of a show one day feeling like, oh, I didn't contribute as much as I wanted, or maybe my energy was off, or maybe that energy, so that interview didn't feel as bomb as I wanted. And the great thing is that you get up in 12 hours and do the same thing again with a totally new set of variables. So I love that. I think that honestly is what's driven me to the late night talk show format to begin with, is that the turnaround is so quick and it forces you to come up with new material all the time.
Very cool. I think we got Choxy on the line. Is that you, sir?
Oh, good.
Yes, sir. I'm so sorry.
Hey, it's all right, man.
You took a nap, Chox? What's going on? What you doing over there?
Yeah, you know, okay, Grace knows it. Yeah, I was totally just working, sleeping, working, and I really, really, really apologize.
No worries. No worries at all.
So are you late often?
Yeah.
You know, I guess before 6 p.m., not so much, but afterwards it looks like, yeah.
Nice.
You guys had some very cool guests so far. One of the things I saw on your guys' website, I had Jim Norton on.
Oh, yeah.
Mike and I are big fans of him. So, like, who has been the best guest so far, if we're going to put you on the spot? And also, too, for each of you guys, can each answer this, who would be, like, your ultimate get to get on the show?
Ooh.
Wow, great question.
Ooh, you know who one of my favorite guests was? Daratunde Thurston, who is a writer and comedian. He was so smart and so much fun, and one of those guests that, like, we just felt like it was just a real relaxed conversation the whole time with him. He's, like, exactly the kind of dream person to have. Yeah, that would be one of mine. Chox, what do you think?
I mean, God, it's so hard because it's always, like, the last person you had just seems so great, and, like, this week we had three great guests. I really had a great time with Catherine Miller. She was so fun. She's our guest who just wrote kind of like a memoir of her experiences over the last 50 years smoking pot. She started smoking pot like 50 years ago. And, I mean, she was just so funny, so quick, just had such a great energy. I think she's up there for me on one of my favorites.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Who would be your ultimate get, Grace, for you to, like, just sit down and have a chat with?
I mean, it depends on who my top crushes of the day. But I would say Jeff Goldblum. Who am I kidding?
Really?
He's my first crush, dream person. I met him briefly last summer in L.A. We danced together. This is true. And we are just the sun and the moon together. And I can't wait to one day have him on the show.
I wouldn't be surprised if you danced together in the middle of like a Taco Bell or something, because that's how weird Jeff Goldblum is.
And that would be incredible. That's the dream situation right there.
Wow, that just sounded so dreamy. I kind of just want to spend an evening with Jeff Goldblum now. Different people come to mind, but I would just love to have Chappelle on. I just think he's the funniest dude on the planet. And I've loved him for so long. That'd be really, really fun.
The show has an interesting take on pretty much everything, how you guys really come at a topic. Like you said, your example of Catherine Hiller, that's a great guest. It is, because there's authors out there that write these great books and then never get any kind of publicity for it the way that, you know, somebody like showing my age here, a Michael Crichton, if you will, would. But
I know Crichton reference, man. Don't worry.
All right, cool. No problem.
Jeff Goldblum was in that movie.
Yeah, no, we like to drop Crichton references at least once a day.
Well, that was the Jeff Goldblum lead-in that actually got.
Yeah, this is a safe space for old dude references. Don't worry.
Sweet. Must awesome. Go faster. Must go faster.
So, but it's a really interesting way that you guys do it. Where do you find these people? How do you guys pick out like such a cool guest list point of view going towards something, you know, going towards a topic? Because it's different. It definitely is different.
Yeah. I mean, we have a great team. I mean, we have an absolutely great team working with us. And so, you know, it's not just me and Grace. We're right. really fortunate to have the support that we have.
The biggest thing aligned with that is our showrunner, Brian McCann, who brings, you know, so many years experience from Conan. Is our captain, and he, like, his sensibility is just so dead on, not just in terms of, like, which jokes work and, you know, which bits should go, you know, in certain segments or acts or whatever, but also in terms of guests, he really has an eye for who he thinks is going to play well with us and who's going to be a really interesting person to bring a conversation that we don't necessarily always have to the table. So I agree with Shoxi that our teammate overall is incredible, but I also think it's so nice to have one kind of solitary leader who's just like unequivocally trustworthy and brilliant. I think that the network is very, very cool about allowing us to have under the radar guests and guests who just like have some interesting, crazy story to tell. Like it's really rad that they're not just, oh, who has the most Twitter followers? We have to get them on now. It's like, yeah, we can, in that voice, because that's how I talk, we can definitely have somebody like Cody Simpson on who's got a jillion followers on Twitter and then follow it up with Catherine Hiller, who's got like, who even knows or cares how many Twitter followers she has? She just has a dope story to tell. I think that fuse is really, really yeah. cool to allow us that freedom.
I just want to give a quick shout out also to the producer, our guest segments, Liz Bontek. Guys, like, I mean, Grace is great. She is the best. I'm a mumbling idiot. So Liz has really helped, you know, me along, and Grace is great too, and we all try to help each other and support each other, and we just have a fun team. I think that hopefully all that shines through, you know, in the final thing you see.
It does, yeah. And it also has like a little, and you mentioned showrunner, you know, coming from Conan, and it definitely has that little bit of a kind of a wink and a nod to that kind of irreverence that, you know, that Conan,
yeah.
Conan is.
I think you're right.
Ryan McCann, the showrunner, he, you know, he came from Conan. A lot of folks on our team have some history with Conan, you know, Grace as well. And that sensibility is one that I love, too, when it comes to late night, absolutely. And, you know, Brian has a thing of like, meh, you know, I don't mind if they see the warts and all when it comes to the show. So I slob lines yeah. all the time, and it seems to be a thing that people enjoy. And, you know, when I first started doing it, I was like, oh, God, I look like an idiot. And then I'm like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I do look like an idiot. It's fine. I'm having a good time. We're having fun and it's being funny. So it's really kind of a freeing experience.
Josh's point about the warts and all thing is so, it's so us. It's so our sensibility. Like, we love that. There's like a goofiness and a silliness that we like just seek, like so hardcore, and we chase after it and we love it. And that like also factors into the stories that we tell and the jokes that we like to tell too. We're always seeking what's just like the kookiest, weirdest, off the beaten path stuff that appeals to us.
Yeah, I was just going to say kind of what Mike was saying, where you can kind of see the nods of Conan. I love certain points, like, you know, in Saturday Night Live, when someone cracks something up and it's live, obviously, and you see everyone trying to keep it together, and you got to kind of almost show those warts. I think it makes the viewer see like, hey, this person, even though I know that that person is human, they make mistakes too. This is live TV, or they're, you know, they're showing, even if it's not live, they're keeping it in. It's more relatable.
It makes you more relatable, especially when you watch some of the like the morning shows and some of the newstainment shows or whatever, and they're so petrified to make a mistake whatsoever,
yeah.
slip up on a line or something.
Well, guys, if making mistakes and screwing up makes you more relatable, I'm the most relatable man on the planet. And yeah, you know, the thing is, when that stuff happens, it's organic. You know, neither Grace or I is like thinking, hey, it'll be cool to kind of mess up on purpose here. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just happening. And I've always said this, when I'm around Grace, I feel fun. I feel funny. I feel relaxed. So if I mess up and she's standing next to me, you know, it doesn't seem like such a big deal.
Totally. I feel the same way.
Well, we appreciate you guys taking time to talk about White Guy Talk Show. Make sure you guys check it out at 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central on Fuse. Of course, put links up at Masters of None. You guys, continued success with everything you're doing. We can't wait to see what you else have in store for the next couple of shows.
Oh, you guys are so great. Thank you. This is so much fun.
Yes,
really,
thank you guys
it.
So much. You guys are really fun to talk to. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, send us links. We'll tweet it and stuff.
Yeah, all right.
All right, you guys take care now.
Get some sleep.
Thanks, y'all. Take care.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures, so much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name, I'll tell you that right now.
Father too many.
They had it. I think someone had it, and they were like, "We want that. We gotta get it."
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Once they got it, they were going way far back.
Maybe they saw that.
Maybe they got it. Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you gonna go back?
Way back, as we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.